Okay, Andres, when did you first start thinking to become an artist?
I think I first toyed with the idea of being an artist at the age of 15 when I dropped out of high school. I thought about it, maybe I did a little painting, and then 2 years later, I actually went and enrolled in the Brooklyn Museum Art School, where I studied painting and sculpture. I've always seen myself as a artist, a conceptual artist, with a camera instead of a paintbrush.
What did you...
Let me just give him a bone to go down. Yeah.
And at that point, what did inspire you the most in terms of artistic movements or artists?
Well, we're talking about 1967, when I was 17. And so I would say that the people who influenced me the most at the time were not were artists like Marcel Duchamp, but also specifically filmmakers like Buñuel and Fellini and Bertolucci and Pasolini, Bergman. These were the biggest influences on me at the time. These guys and Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan I credit with being my all-time influence.
What do you think is the main goal of art today?
I have no idea. You know, I know what I try to do, and that is, I try to make work that's interesting and relevant to the audience in some way. I try to create things that I, think about, or things that I have heard about, or just the things that I see around me. My agenda as an artist is only to use my imagination and give a voice to some of the unconscious things inside of me. But as far as the big picture is concerned, I have no idea what the role of art is today. I imagine, though, that in a way, the role of art always remains the same, and that is to educate, influence, and to inspire the audience in some way.
Which are the most effective mediums in art today, in your opinion?
Actually, I think the most effective mediums, is one of the most effective mediums is film. Although we don't necessarily think of it in the context of art sometimes, but I think film has a bigger impact on most individuals than art does. Certainly, I've always said that a third-rate actor is better known than a first-rate artist, where the general public is concerned.
Why did you choose photography as your basic medium?
After 2 years of studying painting and sculpture at the Brooklyn Museum, I decided once I left school that I couldn't really paint. And also at the time I was very young, and so I was moving around and not staying in one place. And I found that as a painter or as an artist making sculpture or objects, including paintings, that every time I moved somewhere, I would lose some of my stuff. All of my early work was left in with people who I never saw again. And so at some point, and I was living with a woman who had a camera, at some point I realized that I could still be an artist with a camera instead of a paintbrush. And also this way I could take my work with me.
Well, that's a good point. Do you always shoot yourself now in photography, or do you direct some other photographers, your assistants? How does it happen?
I always shoot the pictures myself. However, I'm at a point now where I don't necessarily want to meet the models until I'm ready to shoot them. So oftentimes I'll be in my bedroom in the basement, and the assistants will be up in the studio setting it up, taking the Polaroid, and so I only come in for the kill.
Would you express yourself with other mediums in the future?
Yes, I've always liked film, and frankly, I've always been more moved by film than by visual art itself. I've never been moved to tears by visual art, not even my own. But I've often reacted mostly to film or even to music. And so at this point in my life, after spending 3 years working on America, which is a very long project for me, in the end, I kind of felt like a movie director who had a cast of 112 actors. And so for me, the logical step is to try to do a movie next.
Only film, or you have in mind some other kind of mediums, like installation, or maybe working with other artists that maybe paint or do sculptures?
Not really. Even though once in a while I've done something with someone, I'm not really a team player. At least I can only be a team player if it's my team and I'm the captain of the team. And so I'm not big on collaborations with other people. It's always more like a solo project. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't have other people working with me and helping me a whole lot, you know, except in the end, I get all the credit.
Looking at your work since the beginning, you usually work in series of photographs. Which is the process of creation from the original idea to the end of those series?
Well, it all depends. Some series, evolved very quickly, and I did them in a relatively short time. For instance, the pictures I took of the Klan. I went to Georgia in 1990 and spent about 2 weeks there, in which time I photographed 8 or 9 people. History of Sex, I did in Amsterdam and in Rome. And that series took me probably over 5 months to do. America took 3 years. So it all depends, some series take a relatively short time and others just sort of drag on forever.
But let's say you have the first idea of doing a series, and what is the process from the original idea that you have to the fact that you start working? There is a preparation, you put down notes, idea in writing. How does it happen?
For A History of Sex, originally I came up with the idea with the title of the show, History of Sex, and then I thought I would like to do, I would like to do some research on sex, and also a research of how sex has been portrayed in art and in photography over the ages. That was my initial thought. When I did start to do the work, I never did any research at all, I felt like the research was already in my head. I had done it just by, living. But the process usually, usually starts with the title of a show, and then it with one or two pictures, such as The Interpretation of Dreams. I felt like that was a great title, which would allow me to do anything I wanted to. And so again, with The Interpretation of Dreams, I thought I should read the book, and I started reading the preface to The Interpretation of Dreams, and after 40 pages of reading the preface, I lost interest and never went back to it. But it was okay, because I felt like, I know Freud, I've lived it, we all know what Freud is about. And so You know, so sometimes the preparation is not as extensive as you would think it was. However, the process can be very lengthy and extensive. Sometimes I shoot and reshoot, and you know, I come up with ideas that I don't use, and so in the end, I would say that my concept of how the show will be, starting with the first two images, oftentimes changes drastically by the end of it, because I've gone through a journey, an unexpected journey that has yielded many surprises.
For example, in America, I'm sure that you were inspired by September 11, mm-hmm. or right after, or there was a time frame between your starting?
I mean, immediately after the 11th, I told a friend of mine, I said, Aaron, you know, I want to enlist in the war effort as an artist. And by that, I meant that I wanted to do something, but I didn't know what. But I felt like I needed to do something to express myself in some way. About a month later, after the 11th, two women came from two galleries in London saying that they had just come from Paula Cooper Gallery in New York and had arranged for me to have a show with both galleries 9 months from that date. And so I said, uh-huh. And 2 days later, I thought about it. And 2 days later, I decided, I know what I'll do for these people. I will do a show called America and do a series of, say, 30 or 40 portraits. Now, eventually, I did the work, but eventually, I only had the show in one of the galleries. But somehow, I felt like I was not finished with America. I continued doing it for a short time, until the time I realized that what I really wanted to do was to do America as a book. And so that's what, you know, became the focus of my life for the last 3 years. And I feel it's, even though it was inspired or motivated by the 11th, it's really a post-11th show about America.
What is the common essential element that is there in all your series, in your opinion, from the fluids to America?
I would say that there's a sort of a, you know, an uncompromising imagination, for one thing. You know, one of the things that I always wanted to do with America and with the book was to do a book called America and Other Work, meaning I was not interested in splitting it up and putting out a book about America and then putting out a book about Andre Serrano. I felt like it was important for the audience to realize that the same guy who did this work did the other work. And as one book, in fact, you can see that there's a thread, there's a common thread. There's a preoccupation and an obsession with some of the same characters or ideas, whether it be religious people or sexual images or, you know, ideas about race, ideas about just ideas about life itself. Throughout the whole book, you see a continuation of the same themes. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that it's important for the audience to know that basically my pursuit, you know, my pursuit as an artist has always been for the things that I see around me and the things that affect us all.
So this is the common element going through. What do you think of the reaction of the art world to some of your most controversial work, such as Peace Christ?
Well, you know, I think the reaction of the art world is always been mixed in my case. In the case of Piss Christ, the reaction certainly was very positive for the collectors who all of a sudden decided that Piss Christ was an important image that they needed to collect. And so some people saw, you know, a reason to buy at that point. On the other hand, I would say outside the art world, my work has often been misconstrued and misinterpreted by people who really have their own agenda anyway, so, you know, so they hate it. But I've also found sometimes that within the art world itself, there are also people who don't like my work who, you know, you would think they would be art savvy, and they are, but they also have their own agenda, you know. They need to have someone to look down on, and so they single me out as simply a provocateur. And what hurts my feelings is that these are the same people who, you know, will denounce me for making work that's provocative, and yet they will applaud and champion other artists who do equally provocative work. So, you know, I find that there's a double standard. And like I said, you know, ultimately, I realize that you can't second guess the audience or even the collectors or the critics. So it's best to do work for yourself in the hopes that they will appreciate what you're doing.
And what is your reaction in front, for example, at an act like the one happened in Australia of people breaking actually one of the work in the exhibit?
I was not terribly surprised by that event because of all the hoopla surrounding Piss Christ and the show in Australia at the time. I mean, before I got there, the bishop of, or rather the Archbishop of Melbourne had gone to court to try to get an injunction against Piss Christ being in the show. As a result of all of this publicity, when I got there, there was already a built-in audience, and a lot of paparazzi greeted me at the airport. And so for me, you know, what he did was understandable, given the fact that he is the Archbishop of Melbourne. However, again, what the kids did, who said they were, you know, one of the kids who did the attack on the hammer attack on the piece, said that he was upset because his mother had been crying about the piece as a result of all the attention that the Archbishop had mounted on the show. You know, I can understand why they do what they do. I could not understand or accept the fact that Timothy Potts, the director of the National Gallery of Victoria in Melbourne, where the show was, canceled the show that night. That, to me, was unacceptable.
Leaving aside the example of Piss Christ, is the audience reacting always the same way in front of any series of your work, or there are different reactions?
I'd say there's different reactions. Piss Christ, you know, when I did A History of Sex in Holland at the Groningen Museum, Piss Christ was never an issue. No one had a problem with that. So in the case of, you know, in Holland, though, a picture that attracted a great deal of attention was Leo's Fantasy, which is the picture of the woman pissing into the man's mouth, because when I had my show at the Groningen Museum in 1997, the museum decided to use that picture as the poster. And so they created a big, you know, a big controversy over there. And a lawyer representing several churches and schools tried to get an injunction against the poster being shown. Now, the judge ruled that the poster could go up, but the prosecutors in Rotterdam and in Amsterdam and in Groningen all said they would prosecute anyone who put the poster up. But the poster, it was so successful, and the publicity was so enormous that 2 days before the show, they put up another poster that just said, "Groningen Museum, you decide." And everyone knew what they were talking about. And, you know, the show got 10,000 people there the first day, the first week, and eventually 90,000 people went to see it. So, I mean, I would say that sometimes, once in a while, one of my images catches fire, and I think it's because it goes from the art world into the real world, and the real world is not always as appreciative or as understanding of art as the art world is.
Do you often look to the reaction of people in front of your entire exhibition, and you see some sort of reaction that gives you an idea of how people think or what they think about that particular set of work?
Sure. You know, sometimes I could see standing in a gallery at a distance, so people don't even know I'm there. You could see visible reactions. You could see the actor, if they think it's funny, or if they think it's painful to look at, or if they think it's moving, or even if they disapprove in some way. Although, you know, I've never really seen disapproval at the shows. And in fact, I've had the opposite, where people who normally don't go to galleries have gone to my shows as a result of reading something in the newspaper that attracted their attention, and have said to me, you know, I came and I liked it. I don't see what all the fuss is about. And so I think that the people who really dislike my shows or my work, they avoid the work. They avoid going to see it. But they create a hysteria sometimes, nonetheless.
Do you think your art, generally speaking, is a political statement?
I've never really seen myself as a political artist, and I feel that I don't like those kinds of labels because for me that limits it. That almost means that it's propaganda art. And my agenda is only to create. I don't have a political agenda. But one of the things that I found in America after doing the book was that that series is somewhat, if not politicized, it's certainly very socially conscious work.
Which is the last important taboo, in your opinion, of the Western culture that should be broken by artists?
That's a very good question, because if I knew the answer to it, I'd be doing it. I'm not sure, you know. The only thing that I don't like, the only place where I cross the line is where legality is concerned. I don't want to do anything that I can be arrested for.
What are your references looking back to history of photography? Are there any photographers that you particularly like, not only in style, but in their thinking?
I like a lot of photographers, but mostly they're all dead. And, I mean, they're all dead, all the photographers that I really like and have been influenced by over the years. And, I would say Richard Avedon and Helmut Newton, even though I've never seen myself as a photographer, but still, I've always felt a kinship to guys like this, you know, because they're greats. They're great photographers.
I know that you like also, and you were inspired by him, Curtis.
Yeah, absolutely. Edward Curtis. He specifically inspired me for my Nomad series, a series of homeless portraits that I did. But, you know, just in general, I think as a portraitist, you know, I feel like Edward Curtis, along with Margaret Cameron, Julia Margaret Cameron, took some of the greatest portraits I've ever seen.
What do you think of photojournalism, reality? Is photography more reality or more fictionist?
It depends. I think in the age of digital cameras, you have to be careful not to blur the line between reality and fantasy, particularly when you're purporting to be a photojournalist. I mean, I've heard of pictures that were doctored, you know, for newspapers, and yet they purport to tell the truth. But I myself steer away from digital effects because I have always believed that the strongest work is that work which is free of technical artifice. For me, as soon as you start to do technical tricks, you cheapen what you have. And it takes away from, any real involvement that the audience has with that work. I always prefer to keep it real as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Any artist that you are looking particularly in a good way in the contemporary art world today around the world?
Yeah, I can't think of any, but I mean, I like, first of all, I like most people's work, you know, I give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm not one of these guys who needs to understand art in order to appreciate it. There's a lot of work that I don't understand, but if I know the artist, you know, particularly, you know, I'll always say good things about the work. Yeah, for me, I'm not offended or threatened by work that I don't understand. I can still either like it or not.
What do you think of the art system itself, with artists today, gallery, museums, critics, curators, publishers? Do you think it's a perfect system, or it's something that still has to be modified and perfectionized?
No, I think it's dog eat dog, you know. I mean, as always, you know. And that's the nature of competition in the free market, that there's always a lot more people out there trying to get to the same place you're trying to get to. And so there's always the free-for-all, the rabble, the competition, and the hustlers, you know. I was very impressed the other day. I was sitting, my girlfriend was sitting to, you know, a very well-known artist who shall remain nameless, and he was telling her how he's not really much of a hustler. He says, you know, I want my work to get the attention, and the work should speak for itself. And it was just funny because some people would think he is a hustler, but I think there's nothing wrong with self-promotion. But of course, yeah, I do tend to believe that it's best when the work sort of speaks for itself.
Is there a work since you started that you have really tried to achieve but you couldn't do it for some reason that I can't even imagine, but there was some sort of impediment in your achievement?
Yeah, I mean, I remember many years ago wanting to photograph these penitents in New Mexico, that self-flagellants, people who, you know, believe that they need to whip themselves in the service of the Lord. And but they were super secretive, and they wouldn't allow me to have access to them. In the case of America more recently, there's a handful of people that I did not get. I would say I got 90% of the people that I wanted, but there were a handful of celebrities who, unfortunately, I was surrounded by protectors, by people, by publicists, by
agents.
And assistants to assistants who were never really quite helpful, you know. They sort of just jerked us around and wasted our time. So, I've been very successful in photographing and doing most of the things I wanted to, but once in a while you run into something that you just can't do.
So there were no projects per se, like a series that you couldn't make because of difficult objective things happening. So everything that you wanted to do, you did.
Pretty much so, except for two portraits in particular that I couldn't do. A picture of Paris Hilton and a picture of Martha Stewart. Now, Martha Stewart called me, and she said she wanted to do it, but then her publicist nixed it. And it's the same thing with Paris Hilton. I ran into her. She said she'd do it, but her agent, I believe, is afraid that I'm too controversial for her, and that he might lose his job as a result of letting her pose for me.
Yeah, that he could turn out more controversial than her at the end.
I mean, I just don't understand that. I just don't understand how, you know, sitting for a portrait by Andre Serrano is going to do more damage than giving someone a blowjob on tape.
Yeah. What can you tell me about the future of photography, in your opinion? where is it going?
Well, you know, I guess the future of photography is now, particularly with the death of the giants of photography, such as Helmut Newton and Richard Avedon. It seems like photography now needs to go into the next century. I don't know exactly what it is, but I hope to be a part of it.
Thank you, Andres.
Sure, thank you. That was good, short and sweet.